Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Where's the pumpkin pie?
Snoopy worked hard on that toast. He really did a nice job on it, right?
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Coming up on 612 this Monday morning, another shots fired incident on a Milwaukee freeway. As today, the suspect in one of these incidents of recent past makes yet another court appearance in Waukesha County as she has stalled and delayed the potential consequences for her alleged acts. More on that in a moment. First, the most recent, and we call it shots fired as opposed to a shooting. Just a quick aside here. Typically in news speak, if there are shots fired but nobody gets shot, that's when we say shots fired,
right.
As opposed to, it means to differentiate it from a shooting where someone actually did get shot. Mm-hmm. And so just a quick look at how we brand these sort of things or call them. So this weekend, again, a shots fired report on the freeway. So this is Southern Bypass 894 in Greenfield, westbound lane. So you're headed toward the Hale interchange. If you're on the freeway right near 76th Street, my information here from TMJ4 News. Sheriff's office initially received multiple calls about a crash, a shooting, or both near the exit. So it turned out like one likely precipitated the other. MCSO found the reports of a shooting were credible. They searched for evidence like shell casings on the interstate. So as we see very often when you have a shots fired report, they shut down those lanes. And they did that Saturday night there in Greenfield for the investigation. They look for shell casings. They look for any other evidence, right?
You'll see them combing the streets.
Yes. And this morning, Sheriff's Office has not announced whether there are suspects or anyone in custody. I mentioned earlier the case that we have been following, E, out of Waukesha County. And I contend one of the reasons that these things continue to happen is because oftentimes they either don't find the person who fired the shots, or when they do, no one ever hears of any consequences. So we've been following the case of Rosita Sims, now 28 years old, who, according to the criminal complaint, uttered the infamous phrase, "I got three go-tos, a gun, a knife, or mace." She is accused of shooting up a car during the morning rush Thanksgiving week last year. So we're coming up on nearly a year. She is due in court once again today. She has spent the last year, to borrow your favorite sound effect that we use on the program, kicking the can on down the road. The courts, to some degree, have allowed it. Now, obviously, they're bound by due process. But she has changed lawyers twice already, now a third time, all while she's out on bail. Challenged competency, host of other stalls and delays.
Thought this would have been a plea out immediately. Just would some plea deal and then we'd be done with it. But nope, here we are.
And it was scheduled for such, Eric, earlier this month, which is why it was interesting. Finally, this thing had come to a point where what was on the court docket was a plea and sentencing hearing. So typically what happens in those cases is, all right, let's plead this out.
Yeah.
We do it all in one hearing. We enter the plea. The court accepts the plea and then issues a sentence. But that didn't happen the last time. She was due for that earlier, but then again is changing lawyers. Now looking for a public defender. So today, just another hearing. We will see if there's any resolution or clear direction as to where this case is going. Again, scheduled for Waukesha County Court today.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
To say we escaped with a win on Sunday, perhaps an understatement.
And it's blocked! Oh my goodness, the Packers block it and they're going to win! Survives.
Did you laugh? I just laughed.
Could not believe it.
I didn't see it. I was looking at my phone because I was so disgusted by the whole thing.
Yeah, Fox Sports on the call there. The Bears lined up for a 45-yard field goal to win it at Soldier Field. Blocked. Carl Brooks got enough of a hand on it. The Packers win 20-19.
First of all, we will never ever apologize for winning this league. Never. All right?
Packers head coach Matt LaFleur talking to the guys in the locker room after the game. Don't have to apologize for winning, but there's a lot to be sorry about.
Don't ever apologize to me.
See? Okay. Well, don't have to apologize for that. Still, Packers did find a way. On the block, LaFleur said, kind of like you, Debbie, he couldn't even tell initially who got a paw up there.
I saw all our players surrounding Carl Brooks, so I figured he probably was the one that blocked it.
Yeah. Figured, well, probably Carl who got it.
But they saw it coming. They knew that kicker usually kicked low when they were that far back. Obviously, it was a 46-yarder, so you had to put some leg into it.
Clearly vulnerabilities in the kicking game. In fact, LaFleur talked about it. He said Packers special teams coach Rich Bisaccia saw that vulnerability.
Rich said to our team last night, I will not understand if we come out of this game without a block, whether field goal or PAT. So great job by our special teams coaches.
So got that block. Last play of the game. Packers are 7-3 now on the season. Host the 49ers in a 3:25 kick Sunday at Lambeau Field.
Third place. They remain in third place. The Vikings and Lions just keep on winning. The Lions destroy Jacksonville. What was the score there? 57-3 or something crazy like that. Another Detroit Lions starter, though, and captain get a missed time. Alex Anzalone broke his arm in that game. So they won 52-6, but they lost another guy for several weeks. Vikings beat the Titans 23-13. Texans and Cowboys on Monday Night Football tonight.
Badgers football head coach Luke Fickell fired his offensive coordinator coming off a 16-13 loss at home to the number one team in the land, Oregon, Saturday night. Wisconsin just 226 yards of offense in that game. Phil Longo whacked. Statement from Fickell did not say who will be running the offense moving forward, but the Badgers travel to Nebraska on Saturday next.
Had
a 2:30 kick.
You thought it was going to be a magical weekend in Madison.
Could you imagine? Because Badger basketball is coming off a stunner Friday, topping Arizona. I think they're number 9 in the country. When's the last time you can remember the Badgers scoring 100-plus on anybody? Much less a top 10 team. So
has it ever happened?
big win for Bucky. Got to prevent a letdown here, though. UTRGV in the house tonight. Who is that? University of Texas, Rio Grande Valley. That's a 7 o'clock tip at the Kohl Center.
The Bucks host the Rockets tonight at Fiserv Forum. A referee mistake and a fine for Coach Doc Rivers. The Bucks coach must pay $25,000 to the NBA after he publicly criticized the officiating on Saturday. It led to the deciding score in that one-point loss to the Hornets.
I thought the final play was the ref blowing a call. This is back-to-back games now where on the final play, there's been an incorrect call made.
NBA referees later admitted, yeah, you're right, shouldn't have been called. By the way, we still need $25,000.
Yeah, I don't get that. If you're just going to go up there, I know they have rules about that, about whining about the officiating. But if you're right, and they say you're right, why do you get fined for that? Now, just point it out when you admitted.
It does go to a charity, so I guess all's well that ends well.
Thanks, Doc. Really. Another E. coli outbreak, and we mentioned this in the top of the hour news. Want to get you a little bit more information, because this one could still affect groceries that may be in your home right now. This is tied to organic carrots. And some of the brands are available at stores you may shop.
California-based Grimway Farms is recalling its organic carrots due to a possible E. coli outbreak. The CDC says dozens were sickened in 18 states. One person has died and at least 15 other people have been hospitalized. The carrots were sold under multiple brand names in grocery stores across the country, including Walmart, Publix, Target, and Whole Foods. Those who have the recalled carrots should throw them away or return them to the store for a refund. They should also clean and sanitize any surfaces the recalled produce came into contact with.
It's Matt Piper from CBS News on that report. Checking the latest numbers from the CDC this morning. Matt's report was pretty much up to date. 39 total cases reported, 15 in the hospital, one death, and this is in 18 different states. No reported cases, I did double check here, Eric, in Wisconsin. Minnesota and Michigan both reporting cases of E. coli sickness tied to this specific outbreak. Okay. Now, it's not likely that there are any more carrots for sale out there, unless the stores haven't done their due diligence. The brand's even being pulled from the shelves for affected dates. And the last best if used by date was November 12th. So these should be off the shelves anyway. Doesn't sound like there's a danger of you going to the store today and picking up these carrots. However, think about your fridge.
Mm-hmm. Some of that's been in there a bit.
Pull that bag of carrots out. Yeah. It might have been in there for a little bit, but it's carrots, right? It's good.
Have you noticed, this seems like there's been a recent spate of E. coli reports.
So the biggest one of most recent was the McDonald's one that was tied to the onions in there. And the other interesting thing about that is you usually think of E. coli infection with beef, with meat.
Right. Yeah.
And in this case, it's vegetables. So it's a cross-contamination. My guess is with the organic carrots, and I've studied this because we've covered any number of E. coli cases over the years. The biggest one here in Milwaukee, the Sizzler outbreak in, what, 2000, early 2000s, right? E. coli is a naturally occurring bacteria. And if you use perhaps manure fertilizer or some of these other organic fertilizers, it can get on the produce there. And if they're not properly washed, you would ingest it that way. And in terms of the onions, you know, like a cross-contamination, which is why it's important. Another important part of Piper's report there is if you did happen to find these carrots were in your home, disinfect any surfaces that they may have been
right,
on.
Right, sure.
Because that's also another way E. coli travels. You may not have to ingest it directly with whatever you're eating, but if that substance got on your countertops and then you're using your countertops to slice bread or do whatever else, it can cross-contaminate there and cause serious issues. So another important part of that report from CBS News. So those carrots should be out of your shelves, probably whatever. If you got that brand, let's go ahead and get some new carrots.
Are you feeling increasingly bored? Do you find yourself bored?
Is that a rhetorical question? Are you looking for answers?
I mean, you can give
probably
me an answer,
no.
No, you're not bored? Well, others are feeling
love
bored.
Love to be bored.
And surveys and studies indicate it's because of technology.
Even though we can play Candy Crush for hours. Give me my money! Scroll through TikTok after TikTok.
My lashes may be fake, but I definitely keep it real.
Or even watch countless Housewives episodes on our phones. We're more bored than ever.
Yes, so that's Stacey Lynn there from CBS. A new study published in Communication Psychology says digital media use is to blame for our boredom because it fragments attention. So you scroll and you scroll and you watch and you play games and you have a hard time focusing on just one thing. So when you consume so many quick unrelated things, it's rarely satisfying. You end up feeling bored.
Aha. Uh-huh. So it's not that we don't have anything to do. It's that what we're doing doesn't leave us feeling full.
Do you remember the last time you actually said out loud, boy, I'm bored.
Right. I don't know what I should do right now.
I don't know if I've said it this century. Like, because if right. even if you did feel bored, wouldn't you just go to your phone and start scrolling around?
Catch up on this, catch up on that. You know, like, I read in the middle of two books yesterday. I read for 7 minutes yesterday.
Oh.
But that was like the slice of, like, right, I would like to have a block of time where you could sit down and do it. But to your point, right, I've not been bored.
Right, there's always something to do.
I guess the point is that whatever we're doing is not actually satisfying.
It's not
so
filling the bucket.
You may be doing something, but it's boring.
.642, you're back. Welcome back to the show.
A brief hiatus.
Yeah.
Thursday, Friday, everything go okay?
I think so. We're still here.
I'm surprised you guys don't just shut the transmitter off when I'm not here. Very important.
Well, we were talking a lot of smack about that Bears-Packers game, and that one almost came back. But anyway.
Just laughed at the end. Whoa. A couple days off, traveled with Greendale High School Marching Band, competed in the Grand National Championships. This is Bands of America. Now, I would like to give you a recording from the competition.
Okay, then why don't you just play some recordings?
So this is some of our annual show. My kids go to Greendale, and I got two band kids. Max does like tech and audio and stuff for the band, and then my daughter Olivia is a dancer in the band. And they're highly competitive. They won the state championship again this year, and then they go to this Grand National Championships put on by Bands of America, bands literally from all over the country. And it's in Indianapolis, and they bring in 90 bands. And it's one pool. So it's no big school, small school, whatever. It's just, here's what we got.
Wow, okay.
And so you put them all up against each other. And it's at Lucas Oil Stadium, which is a neat opportunity for the students. But they said, like, so we're getting set for our band. And they're like, no recording. No audio, no video. So
why
I took
not?
A bunch of still pictures. They were live streaming it, so there are probably rights issues and things like that. They want people to buy the live stream as opposed to minutes later you post it on Facebook and do whatever, which is fine. Now, virtually everybody didn't care it was recorded. I don't know. Do you think I should have recorded it or not? I didn't.
I appreciate your integrity.
I didn't feel like I could come here on the radio then and blast out like, hey,
they
didn't want us to get in trouble. Nonetheless, really cool experience. Greendale was not one of the, they take 30 out of the 90 bands that compete, 2 days of prelims, and then they take 30 bands plus a few extra. They try to even it out a little bit, take some smaller school bands.
Okay.
And Greendale did not advance to the weekend. Never has.
Did you see who won? Like who?
I can't remember. One of these mass. There are a few schools massive. That are amazing every year. And I saw a couple of performances that did blow me away. We didn't watch 90 bands.
Right.
But there were a couple where you're like, oh my goodness, that's a really good band. And some of them are schools of, 3,500 students, 4,000 students. Greendale's 800 or 900. Right.
They have cuts. They're cutting people from the marching band.
Right. Some schools have a JV band.
Yeah. Isn't that incredible?
Our band is, Eric, you'd like to take up the clarinet this year? Okay, you're in the band. We'll find a spot for you. We'll teach you the music. Right. So really cool experience for them. Did not advance, but Indianapolis knows what they're doing down there, too. Everything's at the convention center next door, and things just move. They just click.
That's why they have Final Fours and Super Bowls.
So that's a wrap for the Greendale High School Marching Band. We'll march in the Chicago Christmas Parade coming up this weekend.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Packers back home on Sunday. We've got the 49ers coming to town. There were some good things in Chicago.
Jacobs up the middle and in. Touchdown, Green Bay.
And Packers and Bears running back Josh Jacobs.
They did win the game.
And then also we won. Jacobs, 76 yards rushing, 58 through the air, one touchdown on the Packers. 20-19 win over Chicago that ended with this blocked field goal. Fox Sports on the call. Plenty of bad, though. Bad decisions, bad throws.
Love. Guns are high! It's picked off at the goal line. Terrell Smith, room to roll.
Jordan Love, another interception. That one with the Packers in the red zone.
Obviously, we had Tucker Kraft right there, kind of on a pivot route, and I missed him on the throw. Just missed high. Obviously, sailed over his head, and DB was right there to make a play on it. So it's a bad throw.
I don't know.
That bad throw.
It was. I still think the, okay, let's keep going for it on fourth and goal was a more glaring mistake and unnecessary, but all right.
On those bad decisions, hindsight 20/20 always, if the Packers make it, oh, what a bold call, whatever. But going for it on fourth and goal when you had a chance to put some crucial points on the board.
I didn't know when we were going to get the ball back, and typically, I don't know what all you analytical people say out there, whether you should go for it, kick it. I just thought, we're on the 5 yard line. Let's go for it. We're down 5 points, and with the hope that at worst case scenario, we'll get a stop and get the ball back with pretty good field position.
Well, that back end of it didn't work out because they drove the length of the field after that, right? Bears scored again. So Packers head coach Matt LaFleur on his reasoning there. Next up for the Pack, 3:25 kick against San Francisco, that game in Green Bay.
Other NFC North scores? Well, the Vikings and the Lions just keep on winning. Lions destroy Jacksonville 52-6. But it did come at the loss of another starter, one of their captains, linebacker Alex Anzalone, and broke his arm. So he's out for several weeks. So, man, the Lions just keep on moving, but they keep losing, guys. Vikings beat the Titans 23-13. Texans and Cowboys tonight on Monday Night Football.
Badgers whacked their offensive coordinator. They travel next to Nebraska on Saturday. Bucky putting up a fight against the number one team in the country this weekend. Turned out to be a good game. Fell to Oregon 16-13 Saturday night. Defense was scary good, but the offense mustered only 226 yards on the night. So offensive coordinator Phil Longo is out. Hope Wisconsin basketball doesn't have a letdown tonight. Bucky has the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley, UTRGV for short, but not that short. Coming off a thumping of number 9 Arizona in a stunning victory. Tonight's tip, 7 o'clock at the Kohl Center.
Bucks and Rockets tonight at Fiserv Forum. Our coverage starts at 6 o'clock here on WTM. Dre, tip-off is at 7. Here in my car.
Okay, so I'm in San Francisco in this Waymo. There's no one driving right now. They make turns, they blinker. This is some crazy stuff.
That's,
I know
that's
that
our
voice.
Guy, Telly. Yeah, Telly, he's from 101.7 The Truth. So he caught me in the hallway last week. He's like, hey, you're not going to believe what I did. I'm like, what? It's like, I drove one of those Waymos, or I rode in one of those Waymos. So these are the driverless cabs that they have in San Francisco. They got some in Phoenix, too, where you basically just dial it up on your phone. It pulls up, and it takes you wherever you want to go. And there's no one else in the car.
Robot car.
Robot car. So we put it up on the old live stream there. Thank you, Adam. So Adam puts it up. If you text the word watch, you can see it there. He took some video. Just watch to 855-616-1620. We'll send you the video. And yeah, he said it was super cool. I asked him, I'm like, all right, we got to chat about this. So got some tape from him here.
It works basically like an Uber, but this car shows up and there's no one in the driver's seat. And you get in and they're like, hey, welcome, Telly Hughes. And,
so it talks to you.
Yeah. And so, you know, you put on your seatbelt and they'll tell you like, okay, it should take us, you know, 9 minutes to get to your destination. And it seems like you're very safe, but you just can't get over a car being driven by no one.
So where are you sitting? Are you in the back seat?
Yes, you are in the back seat and you order it like an Uber. And so I decided to do it. I was walking distance back to my hotel because I said, you know, I don't know if I want to go too far in this thing. I mean, what if it traps me in and locks me in and takes me to San Jose somewhere?
Right, yeah.
You know, so you get in, you lock yourself in, and you know, it's really cool but eerie at the same time.
Is there a steering wheel?
Yeah, it's a regular car, and it's just it goes just like someone is actually sitting in the driver's seat. But there's no one there. I don't understand it. That is technology that is way beyond my years or thinking, because I don't understand how it works, but it is pretty cool once you build up enough nerve to do it.
So I've been told that once you do it, it's amazing how quickly you become comfortable just like looking at your phone or maybe doing
that is very true, Eric, because once you get in, after you get over the shock factor that this car is being driven by no one, and then you see how safe it is, and you realize, like, hey, this is probably better than someone actually driving it, because if you've gotten in a lot of Ubers and Lyfts and whatever, every driver isn't the same. Let's just say that.
Some have bad days, you know.
Right. So that's the great point that you bring up. I don't think Waymo can have a bad day.
Does it talk to you?
Yeah, it'll talk to you. But the thing that I was always curious about is how can you compensate for the person that isn't driving correctly, or you got someone in the street, right, or things like that. And there's so many sensors around the car and cameras that it catches everything. Like if someone is about to jaywalk, like it knows when to stop and let somebody jaywalk. And so it is like, I don't know when or what year it will reach Wisconsin, but it does seem like you are in another century when you get in one of those things.
Was it like a New York cabbie where it keeps honking and breathing, sighing?
No, none of that. No funny smell. No strange music that you don't want to hear. It's not too cold. It's not too hot. I mean, it really is. You might... After you do it one time, you're going to say, you know what? I prefer no one driving me as opposed to someone driving me. You don't have to converse. You don't have to do anything, man.
So that's Telly Hughes from 101.7 The Truth driving a Waymo for the first time. We still have the video up on the old live stream there. You can see it.
I do like the no small talk. But, man, I thought I'd be totally on board with this. I'm just watching Telly's video, and I'm like, that...
Seeing
seems
the wheel
a little
move.
Odd, yes, right?
Seeing the wheel move around and like the blinker go on, that just seems a little awkward, but okay.